Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
No comment. Right now, I'm just, you know, focused on pitching for the White Sox.
No comment from Garrett Crochet, but we will have plenty to say right here on Inside the Clubhouse. Good Saturday morning, Chicago, and welcome back Inside the Clubhouse right here on 670 The Score on your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I am David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball 9 to 11, as we do every Saturday morning. Today, wondering if the Cubs will ever score again, and if the White Sox will ever win again. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, David. It's Christmas weekend for baseball fans who look forward to trading deadlines like this coming up at Tuesday at 5 o'clock for Major League Baseball to be able to make trades. And the significance of this over the last 2 years is so essential, David, because no longer, because of the new rules, can you even make a waiver deal after the trading deadline like you used to for the first 148 years of baseball. So from that perspective, a huge time for the White Sox, Cubs, with big names possibly going different places. We'll have all of that for you and the latest stories, rumors, and the greatest guests on the planet here on Inside the Clubhouse.
That's a promise. And the threat is that we'll talk about the outcomes of the games, because Friday night, that was bad. The Cubs and the Sox combined to score zilch. No runs. They had hits, and there were plenty of errors. But the Cubs, 6-0 losers to the Royals in Kansas City, a game that got away from them very quickly. They now are 6.5 games out of the third and final wild card spot in the National League. They are a team that has been shut out 3 times in 6 games. So things are not going well.
Doesn't sound good.
No, that's bad. You know what's worse? The White Sox. They have not won since, I can't remember the last time they won.
I think the Eisenhower administration.
Okay, maybe so. 12 in a row now, a dirty dozen, that the White Sox are looking for a victory. They are against the Mariners at Guaranteed Rate Field over the weekend. This is bad, Bruce, but the object of everyone's attention and many teams' desire, Garrett Crochet, one of the best starting pitchers in baseball this year. You heard him coming into the show. No comment. That was in relation to the specifics of a power play I think his agents and representatives pulled this week. We'll talk about the details later. But Garrett Crochet, as you would expect, Friday before the Mariners game, addressed the situation.
What that situation is.
In terms of that, it's, you know, it kind of just is what it is. Right now I'm focused on pitching for the White Sox, and beyond that I'm not really controlling much.
So that is a false report or true report, or can you confirm or deny it? Or?
No comment. Right now I'm just, you know, focused on pitching for the White Sox.
What have you found about the starter routine, maybe even the recovery aspect of it, that's been smoother than relieving maybe in the past?
Yeah, I think for me it's like, you know, being able to kind of structure my workouts accordingly. I think that, you know, touching the mound that second day has, I found to work pretty well for me. A lot of guys I know like to go day three. But I think just like the structure of it, I think it's really added a lot of benefits like to my health and, you know, just to my stuff is overall maintaining throughout the length of the whole season.
Did you know, you had started some in Tennessee. Did you know that in your mind, did you feel like that maybe it was a better fit for you in the long run?
Yeah, and I just felt like I had the ability to do it and was never given the opportunity. I had, what, 4 ILs since, you know, coming out of the pen. So it was just like, let's finally, you know, kind of get to try it before I guess, close that door altogether.
That was Garrett Crochet talking to reporters before Friday's game. He has made 22 starts this season, Bruce. He has been everything and more in terms of the expectations. And now this past week, the thing he was referring to, I want to get your reaction to what happened and what it means. But Garrett Crochet, there was a report, began with John Heyman, our guy, weekly guest on the Mullin Haw Show, that if he's traded, for him to pitch into October, he would need a contract extension. That there would be teams needing to commit to him long-term before he makes the short-term adjustments and commitment to pitch in October. What did you think about that power play?
I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was smart, and it's exactly what I would advise him to do as well. He told you in that little soundbite that going to the bullpen, he had IL stints, okay? He had Tommy John surgery 2 years ago, okay? So from all of that, what he's telling people is, hold on, you're going to trade for me? I'm not a piece of meat, okay? I'm going to control this. I'm not going to the bullpen for anybody. I've already established myself as one of the top starting pitchers in baseball in 2024, I'm leading the league in strikeouts, okay? Everybody in baseball wants me, probably other than the White Sox, who do not think that they can get optimum amount of from him over the next 2 years before he's a free agent. So if you want my services, understand, I'm not going to your bullpen. I'm a starting pitcher. I've gotten into a routine where I get onto the mound 2 days after my start, do my side session. I'm comfortable with my arm on that. I'm not blowing out for you, the White Sox, or anybody else. I'm a starting pitcher in baseball. That's how you have to look at me.
I applaud the fact that he is establishing the ground rules. Everybody needs to be level setting at this point in time. You know where he stands. A couple things. Number one, he's not a 5-10 guy, so he really doesn't have that kind of power. If the White Sox still want to trade him to, say, the Dodgers, we'll get into some of those rumors later, that they can. It's up to the Dodgers then to make that happen according to those demands. It doesn't mean that Chris Getz can't still talk to the Dodgers or the Phillies or the Orioles or whoever. It just means that Chris Getz is telling the new team that would acquire him what the parameters are. Secondly, I wonder, because of how that complicates the situation, because maybe the Dodgers or the Orioles or whoever, the Padres, are invested or interested in Garrett Crochet, maybe they don't want to commit to an extension. Is this Garrett Crochet not only protecting his future, but essentially, as a result of that, telling people he doesn't want to leave. Does he want to stay? Because you know what? He's doing everything. This decision tells me that he's not hell-bent on getting out of town as soon as he can.
Here's what he has to guarantee. This is the most important thing for him, his family, his future family, is if he blows out again, that he's not broke, okay? That he got money to do what he has to do, which is strike people out, be one of the top pitchers in the game, and not be used for someone's purpose to try to win a World Series in 2024 and get his arm blown out. He's not going to do it. And he has perfect right to say so, okay? Does that make him a bad guy, a bad teammate? He's the number one thing, priority for Bruce, an athlete who's had Tommy John surgery is make sure you protect yourself and the rest of your career and monetize it as quickly as you can.
No doubt about it. That makes him a hero because he's stepped forward in doing that, but it also makes him a popular guy in a clubhouse that is got to be just beaten down psychologically. Here's Garrett Crochet. Here's your ticket, buddy. You can get out. You can. This is your get out of baseball jail free card. We're going to trade you because there are 8 to 10 teams who want you badly. And he's saying, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm going to structure this, and I'm going to make this statement behind the scenes. I'm going to make it as hard as possible to get out of town. So you can keep your card. If it means I'm staying because I will be a starting pitcher. I can live with the circumstances, and I don't want to get out as fast as I can.
Let's fast forward this. Let's go through the fantasy trade of him going to the Dodgers for three of the top picks in baseball. The Dodgers have arguably the best farm system to go with, again, arguably the best team in baseball. He's traded to the Dodgers. Number one, he's in a new environment. Mm-hmm. He starts to get to know his teammates. The Dodgers, Andrew Friedman, the president of baseball operations, says to Garrett, Garrett, we have a lot of pitching. We have a lot of resources here. We're going to continue to start you, okay? You're going to be our opener for the rest of the season. You're going to throw three innings. We're going to monitor your load. Anytime that you are showing any stressful pitching of any sort, we'll get you out of there, okay? We're going to protect you and your future. Your future is important to us as it is to you. And then when we get to postseason, let's see what it looks like. Let's see how you feel. Let's see how you, so the whole dynamic changes once you get traded.
I think there's no question about that. That's good experience talking, Bruce. That's a great point to remember because you know that once Garrett Crochet hypothetically is in a Dodger uniform, is in the National League playoffs, he might be to the point where, all right, I've done what I've done. Now I want to win it all, and I'll do whatever it takes. That may be when he becomes the consummate teammate. But I think in this point in time, in as we sit here this morning, where he is still, check your Twitter feed, but he is still right now a member of the Chicago White Sox, the fact that he is not making it easy for him to be dealt suggests at least a little bit that he doesn't hate the idea of staying.
The most ludicrous idea is, hey, he's going to be a pen guy right away for somebody. He's going to pitch three times a week.
Not good for his arm.
I can't even understand that mentality. You know, I can't even understand people thinking that he's a robot and that he is going to go start throwing 10 pitches, 12 pitches, be ready to come in a game three times a week, okay, when needed, okay? That's just not going to happen. It doesn't make any sense. And again, when you're giving up two or three of the top players in your organization for Crochet, you're not going to put him in that situation. You're getting him as a starting pitcher now and for the future. But for Garrett Crochet and his people to put that information out there was simplistically brilliant this week.
I agree with that. It was definitely something that changed the dynamic of the story. So we'll continue to monitor that as well as who else is going from the White Sox fire sale, if you will. We think that there are several players, Tommy Pham, Paul DeJong, Michael Kopech, Eric Fetty. That is, you know, the list typically starts there, and Garrett Crochet certainly at the top of that. White Sox lost 10-0 last night. tough week for the Sox in a difficult season. Thursday, Dylan Cease throws a no-hitter. A day later, the guy traded for Dylan Cease or included in that deal, Drew Thorpe, was as bad as he's been, 8 runs and 2/3 of an inning. That's going to happen to a young pitcher, Bruce.
There was a soundbite from Pedro Grifol after the game in the post game with with Ozzie and with Chuck. And he was asked about the pitch selection from Thorpe, and he said he threw 5 fastballs in a row. 3 of them were hit for home runs. It was a bad plan, okay? What is it? Who is he talking about, okay? Is it the catcher? Is it the pitcher? Is it the pitching coach? Is it a combination of the three who sit down and talk about going out there and having a game
plan? That's a tough one. It could be tipping pitches. It could be a combination of all three. It could be a young pitcher just prone to inconsistency.
He said it was a bad plan.
Yeah, it was a bad night. Right. The Mariners team came in struggling, so, 30th in hitting, and they
Thorpe
take
is
batting
a,
practice against
Thorpe
Drew
is
Thorpe.
A changeup pitcher, yeah. Okay? And as Ozzie pointed out, you know, you're not throwing 5 fastballs in a row, okay? Because you're a changeup pitcher. You know, that is not your strength. Your strength is that your fastball is your changeup because your changeup is your primary pitch.
And he didn't have much of anything last night, so the Sox are where they are. We'll continue to talk about what they're going to be facing as trade speculation continues. Meanwhile, the Cubs began the week with Jed Hoyer conceding the season, essentially. And then Jed came out on Monday, talked about how more likely to stand pat and make moves that have everything to do with if they help them win in 2025, because trying to win in 2024 seemed like a lost cause. My words, not his. But the interpretation was up for debate, but it wasn't really hard to see what he was saying. Bruce, the players heard him. When your team president comes out on Monday and says you're not good enough to compete in 2024, well, you know what? It should be no surprise that they go out and they are shut out 3 of the next 6 games. This is a bad team heading in the wrong direction, and it started with the concession speech on Monday.
It worked the opposite way, though, last year, David. Okay? He threw the gauntlet down pretty much maybe early July last year and said, unless we play better, I'm not adding to this team. Okay? They played better. They went out and they got Candelario. They got Jose
Quas,
yes. And they battled down to the end, although, you know, from September 6th on, where they were a 94% for sure to go to the playoffs, they failed, and they didn't get to the playoffs, but they won 83 games with a lot of encouraging feelings going toward 2024 with a new manager in tow and the idea that they were getting Bellinger back.
But last year, Bellinger was a different hitter, and he was also healthier, and he was also a guy that carried the team for stretches. This year, nobody has emerged as that person, which is why Jed Hoyer on Monday sounded like this.
I think where we are right now, I would say that, you know, moves only for 24. I think unless things change over the next week, I think we probably won't do a lot of moves that only help us, you know, for this year. If moves help us, you know, in 25 and beyond, I think we're still exceptionally well positioned. I think that's what our focus will be. But, like, just helping in 24, I think that probably won't be our focus unless things, you know, change dramatically.
So that means Jameson Taillon still will be shopped. You reported last week the Yankees and the Red Sox were interested. Where does that stand, do you think?
Well, there's been other teams that are pretty deeply involved. The Houston Astros are one of those teams as well. Keep in mind one thing about Taillon that hasn't been reported very much, if at all. At the beginning of the year, he has 10 teams that he tells the Cubs he won't be traded to. So he has a limited no trade. We don't know who's on that list of 10, right? Only the Cubs and Taillon know that, but you can't just start changing it. Okay, you can go to Taillon and say, "Hey, Houston's not on your list. Will you go there?" And he'll have to say yes or no. But the reality is that when teams know they're on that no trade list, you know, they might automatically start backing away from any type of trade. So Tyone is somebody that 2 years left, $36 million at the age where he's pitching his very best again. If you're ever going to trade a guy like that, this is the time to do it with 2 years left at a moderate, by today's standards, $18 million a year for a number three pitcher.
Which is why I would keep him. If you want to win and keep the window open for 2025, you need a reliable, dependable, top of the rotation starter who is affordable.
It's a good argument.
And I would argue to Jed Hoyer that, yes, there might be teams interested now, but I would think that if you want to win later.
I will counter that, okay? The counter would be, I'm getting $18 million back from his contract.
Okay.
I'm getting $16 million back from Hendricks' contract. If Bellinger walks away, I'm getting $30 million back from his contract. And people say, well, he's having not a great year. He won't walk away from $30 million. Remember, Scott Boras is the agent.
Yes.
Okay. And remember, he'll be probably the number two hitter, regardless of how he finishes out there, looked at after Juan Soto. So then you have, let's say you have $60 or $70 million off of your payroll from this year going into next, and you have Corbin Burnes and you have Soto out there as free agents. How dramatically would one or both be? And if people say, oh,
I don't have a lot of confidence in Copeland either.
God, Levine, they're not going to spend that kind of money.
Yeah.
Okay.
God, well, Levine, they're not going to spend that kind of money.
Okay. Well, I would have to say that they've done that before. They will consider doing it again.
When?
Maybe as early as next year. I don't think.
Okay.
I don't think Tom Ricketts and his family want to have a $230 million payroll and a last place team.
But they do right now.
I know they do.
And to fix that, you don't just start dumping salary.
But here's what Hoyer has done. Hoyer has rebuilt the infrastructure of that team and minor league system to the point where they have viable players coming. A lot of them don't have positions because you're locked in left field and right field with no trade contracts. Yeah. But there are really good young players coming along. You're going to either use them for your team or you're going to put them in deals to trade for needs that you have coming along. But again, Tom Ricketts has spent a lot of money over the years, and it's particularly 2015 through 2020 on players that helped them win a World Series.
I think you're right, but you have to look at what they're dealing with next year. Intelligent spending would mean keeping a pitcher that only makes $18 million a year. You might get money back on Hendricks. Bruce, I also think the free agent market, another story happened and developed this week, kind of low-key, but does affect every team that wants to find the solution in free agency. There's a lot going on. Major League Baseball is now going to offer to help teams that are hemorrhaging because of the decline of RSNs and regional sports networks, and you look around at the $15 million, they're going to help with $15 million per team, perhaps.
So this is Major League Baseball's way of giving public aid.
This is welfare. This is baseball welfare. And essentially what's happening, though, that it underscores to me just how many teams are struggling, and it should amplify how these free agent big deals, and it's a huge free agent class, they're not going to be as big as people think, and these player salaries are going to start to come down.
They will. And this is because baseball, like many other sports right now, but baseball right now for sure, is having great difficulty understanding how to monetize streaming as opposed to cable cutting. And where do the revenues come from? The big companies are no longer interested in supporting local broadcasts any longer. The Bally's and the Roots and the big companies that with the RSN people in the past are no longer interested in losing money on baseball because they have it. And that is a huge problem for every team, including the Chicago White Sox and the Chicago Cubs, as they move forward to try to deal with it. But the point that you make, David, is it's automatic that these teams will start spending less money on payroll. It's automatic. And when the when the collective bargaining agreement comes up in a couple of years, that is going to be the number one reason why Major League Baseball owners will say, you either accept the salary cap now or we're going to have one of the longest lockouts in sports history.
You're right. It's all very serious. It's a story that was not necessarily got a lot of attention this week with all the trade speculation, but it's something that is not going away anytime soon. Neither are we. This is the way we're setting up for today. 9:45, we're going to talk to Paul Janisch from the White Sox, the new director of player, or the director of player development. He is in Arizona with the White Sox, members of the draft class from 2024. We'll talk to him and get a progress report. We're going to talk to Michael Bush, the Cubs' fine first baseman, at 10:30. Looking forward to that conversation. In between, we'll speculate about trades. We'll talk about what is ahead for the Cubs and the White Sox. We'll get a little chin music at the top of the hour. When we come back, I have a to-do list for Jed Hoyer, Craig Counsell, or whoever is in the Cub front office that wants to pay attention to it, what they could do Wednesday morning, the moment the trade deadline expires and they face the rest of the season. We'll get to that next. Also, we'll hear from Carter Hawkins, who had a very interesting interview on Mullion Haw earlier this week. Back on Inside the Clubhouse, David and Bruce until 11. Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I
feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
I would take one step back on, you know, some of Jed's comments last week. You know, I think what he was saying was, we're not going to do anything that only helps 24. So, you know, it's not just looking towards 25. It's just trying to figure out how do we do things that don't only help 24 just with the position that we're in.
Welcome back to Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Carter Hawkins on the Mully and Haas Show Thursday. Pushing back a little bit, I think I referred to this as a lost season in one of the questions I asked him. Didn't like that. He wasn't too keen on going there. I thought he was a little protective of that idea, and I'll push back a little bit, maybe slightly defensive. Wasn't as open as he typically is, but hey, that understandable. It's been a long season, Bruce. But it sounds like the Cubs, the moment that the trade deadline comes and goes, this becomes a final 55 games or so, a developmental project toward next year.
It has been all year, David. Just people haven't had their eyes open. Again, I don't know how many times I'm sick of my own voice saying in my head and on a few of the shows that I'm on here is you have player development at catcher, first base, third base, center field, okay? Why would you think that all of those guys were going to click right away and that all of their work was going to be linear and they were going to continue to be all-stars by the end of the season? That's not what baseball is right now. Morrell has never played a starting position full-time in baseball
for 3 years. You know the answer to that. It's because Craig Counsell is here. And Craig Counsell was hired, made the highest paid manager in baseball for his reputation with the results to back it up. He did more with less. This is the do more with less guy. This is the guy worth every penny if you are justifying it. So you can afford to go into a season with these developmental projects because you have the manager who has won with developmental projects in Milwaukee.
Yeah, not a great premise.
It was the premise that we got so excited about in the winter, Bruce.
I think that the hire was a really good one and a smart one. And as much as I like David Ross, who will be managing again and probably flourishing somewhere else, I would have made the same move if that was available to me. Okay, because this guy is a super baseball man and he's super smart, but he doesn't throw, he doesn't hit, he doesn't run. Okay, he doesn't do any of those things. So if you have players that are not ready to play in the major leagues, and you think that Craig Counsell is going to help them be more ready to play because he happens to be sitting in the dugout, him and his coaches can only do so much, right? And the rest is PCA parts of his game are not ready for the major leagues right now, okay? Amaya, until this latest adjustment, which was, of course, Craig Counsell stepping in with the coaches and
it's worked.
It's
been better.
Okay. You know, it took 4 months.
But, okay, you got to see what you got in the final 2 months.
Right. So this will work. But, again, player development for young players starting for the first time in the major leagues is not linear.
I know. Michael Busch is a guy that's taken advantage of it. We'll talk to him at 10:30. This is what I would do if I'm Jed Hoyer or Carter Hawkins. I'll just say Jed. Carter might be a little mad at us still. We'll give him a little time to get over Thursday. If I'm Jed Hoyer on Wednesday morning, I am calling up either or both Matt Shaw, Owen Casey, or Alex Canario. Okay, two of those three or one of those three has got to get a lot of at-bats down the stretch. You got to know what you got.
Right. Where are they playing?
Matt Shaw's double-A, just hit his 12th home run last night.
What positions are
Matt Shaw's going to play third base. Morrell's going to be your DH. You're going to pause or stall his third base development because you know why? You drafted Matt Shaw to play third base. You also drafted Cam Smith, your first rounder from Florida State. He's the next guy on the way. Morrell playing third might be a failed experiment. Stop now. Let him hit. He's not hitting. Let him just worry about hitting.
So you're looking toward the future.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. On Wednesday morning, Bruce, I don't know what your calendar is going to say, but the Cubs at inside their offices at Clark and Addison, it's going to be welcome to 2025. They should have a party, pop the corks, because that is when it begins.
So I like your idea. Would you then, if you're looking toward the future, Would you put Morrell in left field and make Happ your DH for the rest of the year?
If that's, I would think the other way around. I think that Happ is a Gold Glove caliber.
But
left
he's
fielder.
Not a part of your. He's part of the next 2 years.
Why is he only not part of your future?
Two years.
What you have to do is with Ian Happ and or Seiya Suzuki, figure out how to compel them to waive their no trade clause so you can deal them. Now you can buy their complicity. You can pay them to do so. I don't know if that's realistic or not, but if I'm the Cubs, I've got to move on and make changes at either corner outfielder spot, either or both, because it's not working. Seiya Suzuki's never played in a playoff game. Seiya Suzuki last night cost the Cubs. I'm sorry. I know it was 6-0. They might not have beat the Royals. Kyle Hendricks had two outs, and then
he took a good post route to the ball.
No, yeah, back and over. We're not running routes at Hallis Hall. You're trying to get to a fly ball in shallow right. Get to it already. If he hadn't had the previous problems catching fly balls, I might not have wondered as much if he would why he blew that one. But he did. He did, Bruce. All of a sudden, scoreless game with Kyle Hendricks not looking bad, but that was an inning that turned into a disaster, and that was Seiya Suzuki's fault.
These little things are all a product of an offense that is
I know.
Has failed all year, okay?
Got me going
since April. Since after April, it's an offense that has failed. And David, you know, again, these little things happen in every single major league game, but they don't stand out if your offense scores 6 or 7 runs and washes it away.
That's true. And they've been shut out 3 times in the last 6 games.
Yeah, so they scored 9 runs in 7 games.
9 runs. Think about that.
Okay.
Nine runs in a week.
7 games. The White Sox have scored 11 in 8.
The Mariners scored 10 last night.
Right.
They scored more runs in one night than the Cubs have in a week.
Just off the subject, when do you remember 2 Chicago teams in the same year that, number one, were both in last place at this time of the season, and number two, had no offensive stars to even hang your hat on?
If we're talking baseball, it's been a long time. I can't remember. Because they're both teams are bad and boring. Bad and boring. It's a bad combination.
Sounds like my dating life.
If you're talking about two teams that are at the bottom of the barrel, I mean, first thing that came to mind, I thought you were going to go, you know, the Bears and the Blackhawks. They pretty much have been bad for a while.
Right. But, you know, as I made you digress here, the point is that I'm with you on the player development. The thing is, how do you take a leader on that team like Happ, an important player like Suzuki, and tell them, you know what, you're going to have less playing time than
Bruce,
the last 2 months of the
season?
It's
a fair question, and it's rooted in the idea that you're professional and you want to treat players with respect that individually they deserve. But collectively, this is a failed project. So you go to them, you're not risking anything. You're not any good. So that's easy to say. This is a results-oriented business, and you guys aren't providing any. So which one of you is going to agree to go? Or, you know what? You're going to be a platoon system.
But in a clubhouse, David, you're sitting down two of the guys that have actually been the more productive offensive players on the team. Okay? So, you know, again, how do you keep a clubhouse together? How do you keep a group together and get the point across? You know what? We're not trying to win right now. We're trying to develop the players for the future.
Figure it out. I mean, adversity is it's not what the adversity is. It's how you handle it. Here's some adversity, guys. Things aren't perfect. Things aren't going to be perfect. Okay. Dad lost his job. Mom's in a bad mood. Figure it out. I mean, whatever it is, you know, you just have to deal with things. They'd have to deal with things. They stink.
But they have to deal with how it works.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the plan is, I'm telling you, this is how it would work. You're looking ahead. You're planning for 2025. Start Wednesday. Start Wednesday and bring up the kids. Let's see if they can play. Because right now, 312 coins it. It should be a t-shirt. Bad and boring. You have to see it. Tell the Marquee Sports Network that. When we come back, Paul Janish is the White Sox Director of Player Development. He is in Arizona, and he will join us next. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haugh.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. David Hall, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock, trying to connect with White Sox Director of Player Development Paul Janish. Until we do, trade speculation continues, Bruce. We talk all the time. Garrett Crochet, we heard from him. He is going to be the biggest name in town, shopped. Maybe Luis Robert Jr., not sure. But a guy we haven't mentioned, only in this context, Christopher Morel. I do wonder what his future holds. And I do wonder, with Jed Hoyer being as open about, let's just face it, they're open for business. They're in listening mode. Is Christopher Morel a guy that would get some attention of other teams looking for some pop in their lineup?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, who leads the Chicago Cubs in home runs and RBI? It's Christopher Morel, right? Who has started to learn a position. And again, I really think I'm going to be critical of the Cub organization for one thing, and that is the idea that they gave us 3 years ago when he first came up, that here's a guy that's the next Ben Zobrist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy that can play multiple positions, has a home run bat, an RBI bat, is one of the more interesting, intriguing young players, one of the friendliest young guys in the game, big personality. So kind of got sold on the idea that this was Zobrist Sosa combination.
Could we agree, though? You said he leads the Cubs in homers and RBIs, and I think that's a relative designation. It's relative to how bad they are offensively.
Well, they're old school numbers.
I know, but they're also numbers on a team that's bad, and he has he regressed offensively?
All his numbers say so.
So I ask you.
Except walks.
I ask you only in the walks. Right. Walks are up. He's been a little more selective. He started the season that way. But here's why I ask that. It's like, this is a team that was supposed to be about trusting the player development now. Craig Counsell was the biggest reason for that. They'd wanted to try him on third base. That was one of the biggest priorities of spring training. Did that move defensively affect Christopher Morel offensively? And if the answer is yes, what does it say to your confidence in the Cubs' ability to develop players?
It's a fair question. I remember Sean Dunson saying, that he fought the move to the outfield by Larry Himes, the general manager of the team back in the early 90s. And then as he continued his career, as he became a bench player and playing the outfield, he said, I cost myself a lot of offensive numbers by spending too much time worrying about whether I could handle the job at shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to your point, David, of do you just take a guy like that, relax him to the point where he doesn't worry about that, and is your 40 home run, 100 RBI guy?
Maybe I'm conceding too quickly.
We might be wrong.
We could be wrong, but yeah. they look wrong now, thinking he could play
third.
There's
a lot of bad left fielders in baseball. You can get away with it. The Cubs happen to have one of the better defensive left fielders in baseball.
That's not the corner outfielder I'm wanting to get rid of or trade. The next time I hear Boog Shambisi say you later, it'd be like, on his way to O'Hare to get the Mariners so he can be traded to Seattle. I it's not a personal thing. It's just like, Seiya Suzuki was brought here under the premise that he was good defensively. His best defensive position is DH. He's not going to be your DH. Christopher Morel should be. That's why, if you're looking ahead, keep Ian Happ. I think Ian Happ is one of those guys that, if you're identifying core pieces, I would like to keep him rather than trade him. I would see if you can talk Suzuki into being dealt, figure out your center field position with whoever.
Look,
Bellinger or PC AAA. I don't know which one of those guys.
So in a good offensive mix, Ian Happ and Seiya Suzuki are 6 and 7 hitters.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Okay. So they can't be 2, 3, 4, 5 hitters in a good off. And that's not to demean what they do. They're good players within the realm of who they are, okay? They're not players that are meant to carry your offense. Happ happened to be a guy that did carry the Cubs' offense for about a 3-week period, and for about 4 or 5 weeks, he was among the leaders in RBI.
I know.
He was among the leaders in clutch hitting. But again, that's not who he is. He's a good player. He's not a star player. Okay,
he's not, but I think he's paid like a star player, right? And I understand and respect. I'm talking from two different sort of positions here. There's the emotion, and then there's the experience, and you're trying to be fair, but you're also trying to be responsive. What we have seen has been not good enough. So that's not just him, but there are others on the Cubs that have been disappointing. There's a lot to unload if you want to unload. If you're a Cub fan, if you're Jed Hoyer. But I just don't know that if you have identified the rest of the season as being part of planning for 2025, why you shouldn't start that process as soon as you can.
Yeah, I mean, I think these are fair questions. The problem here is that you have locked yourself into some players that you can't move, okay? You've locked yourself into half. You've locked and again, I like Suzuki is a hitter. I like Hap as an all-around player. I don't like them as the focal point for your team's offense. That's not who they are.
Cody Bellinger is somebody that might get some interest before the deadline. Cody Bellinger's contract has some ambiguity that makes it complicated, complex, because of his ability. Why not? Because I think that you hear that, I think that you look at that, I could see a reason. I could talk myself out of trading for Cody Bellinger just as easily as I could talk myself out of trading for Garrett Crochet if you're looking for a contract that isn't exactly neat and tidy.
So I checked with his agent 2 days ago, and he simplified it. Bellinger, if he activates his opt-out to play next year for the Cubs, makes $30
million. Mm-hmm.
And he also has the same option for 2026 for $20 million, okay? That's it. He has the only say-so on that. He has to let them know by November if he's going to opt in. Otherwise, he's a free agent starting this year or starting in 2025 offseason.
So what's your sense?
My sense is that in most cases where a guy has, and he still has a couple months left, he's probably going to be back by the next 4 or 5 days. If he has a good offensive flurry toward the end, I think he becomes a free agent. And Boris takes him to free agency again out there. People will say, well, how's he going to get $30 million and $20 million again? It's the market that dictates what a player gets, okay?
It also goes back to what we were talking about earlier, how salaries are going to come down. Average annual salaries
they will, but
for free agents, like he may be wisest to opt in,
right,
to take the sure thing.
But a team like Seattle, who's had this dominant pitching for the last couple of years and no offense,
mm-hmm,
they're going to have to wise up. And they can't be... A team like that can't be sitting around wasting all this good pitching, not getting to the playoffs or barely making it, and not moving on because they don't have enough offense. So teams like that, all it takes is one guy, one team to go, the green light goes on, the owner says yes, and there is a $150 million to $200 million
contract. We got a break, but did you see the Mariners, speaking of them, they traded for Randy Arozarena from the Braves. And I would think that they would want him. They didn't need him last night. They scored 10 runs against the White Sox. But Randy Arozarena was at the Rays game as a fan after getting traded to the Mariners. If you're Seattle, don't you think, like, what are you doing at the ballpark? Be with us in our clubhouse.
72 hours to report.
I know.
I understand what you're saying.
I want him ASAP.
Right. He's not Joel Youngblood from 1977 that had two hits in one day for two different teams in two different cities.
That's okay. The guy I want.
Yeah.
I want the guy who's in a hurry to get to my team.
Right. That wasn't happening.
We
here.
Traded for your bat. Get it to the airport and get here ASAP. All right. We will shift gears. No, we're not going to shift gears. We're going to keep talking trades. We got Michael Bush at 10:30. We got all your phone calls. Thank you for holding. We'll get to you soon. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw.
Welcome back. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. David Haw, Bruce Levine until 11 o'clock, trying to connect with White Sox Director of Player Development Paul Janish. Until we do, trade speculation continues, Bruce. We talk all the time. Garrett Crochet, we heard from him. He is going to be the biggest name in town, shopped. Maybe Luis Robert Jr., not sure. But a guy we haven't mentioned, only in this context, Christopher Morel. I do wonder what his future holds. And I do wonder, with Jed Hoyer being as open about, let's just face it, they're open for business. They're in listening mode. Is Christopher Morel a guy that would get some attention of other teams looking for some pop in their lineup?
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, who leads the Chicago Cubs in home runs and RBI? It's Christopher Morel, right? Who has started to learn a position. And again, I really think I'm going to be critical of the Cub organization for one thing, and that is the idea that they gave us 3 years ago when he first came up, that here's a guy that's the next Ben Zobrist, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy that can play multiple positions, has a home run bat, an RBI bat, is one of the more interesting, intriguing young players, one of the friendliest young guys in the game, big personality. So kind of got sold on the idea that this was Zobrist Sosa combination.
Could we agree, though? You said he leads the Cubs in homers and RBIs, and I think that's a relative designation. It's relative to how bad they are offensively.
Well, they're old school numbers.
I know, but they're also numbers on a team that's bad, and he has he regressed offensively?
All his numbers say so.
So I ask
you. Except walks.
I ask you only in the walks. Walks are up. He's been a little more selective. He started the season that way. But here's why I ask that. It's like, this is a team that was supposed to be about trusting the player development now. Craig Counsell was the biggest reason for that. They'd wanted to try him on third base. That was That was one of the biggest priorities of spring training. Did that move defensively affect Christopher Morel offensively? And if the answer is yes, what does it say to your confidence in the Cubs' ability to develop players?
It's a fair question. I remember Sean Dunson saying, you know, that he fought the move to the outfield by Larry Himes, the general manager of the team back in the early 90s. And then as he continued his career, as he became a bench player and playing the outfield, he said, I cost myself a lot of offensive numbers by spending too much time worrying about whether I could handle the job at shortstop.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes to your point, David, of do you just take a guy like that, relax him to the point where he doesn't worry about that, and is your 40 home run,
that's
100 RBI guy?
Maybe I'm conceding too quickly.
We might be wrong.
We could be wrong, but yeah. they look wrong now, thinking he could play third.
There's a lot of bad left fielders in baseball. You can get away with it. The Cubs happen to have one of the better defensive left fielders in baseball.
That's not the corner outfielder I'm wanting to get rid of or trade. The next time I hear Boog Shambisi say you later, it'd be like, you know, on his way to O'Hare to get the Mariners so he can be traded to Seattle. I it's not a personal thing. It's just like, Say Suzuki was brought here under the premise that he was good defensively. His best defensive position is DH. He's not going to be your DH. Christopher Morel should be. That's why, if you're looking ahead, keep Ian Happ. I think Ian Happ is one of those guys that, if you're identifying core pieces, I would like to keep him rather than trade him. I would see if you can talk Suzuki into being dealt, figure out your center field position with whoever.
Look,
Bellinger or PC AAA, I don't know which one of those guys.
So in a good offensive mix, Ian Happ and Seiya Suzuki are 6 and 7 hitters.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Okay. So they can't be 2, 3, 4, 5 hitters in a good off. And that's not to demean what they do. They're good players within the realm of who they are. Okay. They're not players that are meant to carry your offense. Happ happened to be a guy that did carry the Cubs offense for about a 3-week period. And for about 4 or 5 weeks, he was among the leaders in RBI.
I know.
He was among the leaders in clutch hitting. But again, that's not who he is. He's a good player. He's not a star player. Okay.
He's not, but I think he's paid like a star player. Right. And I understand and respect. I'm talking from two different sort of positions here. There's the emotion and then there's the experience. And you're trying to be fair, but you're also trying to be responsive. What we have seen has been not good enough. So that's not just him, but there are others on the Cubs that have been disappointing. There's a lot to unload if you want to unload. If you're a Cub fan, if you're Jed Hoyer. But I just don't know that if you have identified the rest of the season as being part of planning for 2025, why you shouldn't start that process as soon as you can.
Yeah, I mean, I think these are fair questions. The problem here is that you have locked yourself into some players that you can't move, okay? You've locked yourself into half. You've locked – and again, I like Suzuki as a hitter. I like Happ as an all-around player. I don't like them as the focal point for your team's offense. That's not who they are.
Cody Bellinger is somebody that might get some interest before the deadline. Cody Bellinger's contract has some ambiguity that makes it complicated, complex, because of his ability. Why not? Because I think that you hear that. I think that you look at that. I could see a reason. I could talk myself out of trading for Cody Bellinger just as easily as I could talk myself out of trading for Garrett Crochet if you're looking for a contract that isn't exactly neat and tidy.
So I checked with his agent 2 days ago, and he simplified it. Bellinger, if he activates his opt-out to play next year for the Cubs, makes $30
million. Mm-hmm.
And he also has the same option for 2026 for $20 million, okay? That's it. He has the only say-so on that. He has to let them know by November if he's going to opt in. Otherwise, he's a free agent starting this year or starting in 2025 offseason.
So what's your sense?
My sense is that in most cases where a guy has, and he still has a couple months left, he's probably going to be back by the next 4 or 5 days. If he has a good offensive flurry toward the end, I think he becomes a free agent. And Boris takes him to free agency again out there. People will say, well, how's he going to get $30 million and $20 million again? It's the market that dictates what a player gets, okay?
It also goes back to what we were talking about earlier, how salaries are going to come down. Average annual salaries
but
for free agents, like he may be wisest to opt in,
right,
to take the sure thing.
But a team like Seattle, who's had this dominant pitching for the last couple of years and no offense,
mm-hmm,
they're going to have to wise up. And they can't be – a team like that can't be sitting around wasting all this good pitching, not getting to the playoffs or barely making it, and not moving on because they don't have enough offense. So teams like that, all it takes is one guy, one team to go, the green light goes on, the owner says yes, and there is a $150 million to $200 million
contract. We got a break, but did you see the Mariners, speaking of them, they traded for Randy Arozarena from the Braves. And I would think that they would want him. They didn't need him last night. They scored 10 runs against the White Sox. But Randy Arozarena was at the Rays game as a fan after getting traded to the Mariners. If you're Seattle, don't you think, like, what are you doing at the ballpark? Be with us in our clubhouse.
72 hours to report.
I know.
I understand what you're saying.
I want him ASAP.
Right. He's not Joel Youngblood from 1977 that had two hits in one day for two different teams in two different cities.
That's okay. The guy I want.
Yeah.
I want the guy who's in a hurry to get to my team.
Right. That wasn't happening.
We
here
traded for your bat. Get it to the airport and get here ASAP. All right. We will shift gears. No, we're not going to shift gears. We're going to keep talking trades. We got Michael Bush at 10:30. We got all your phone calls. Thank you for holding. We'll get to you soon. It's Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.